there once again. Oh, have I got a message for you today. Ooh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, child. I pray you'll stay right where you are and you listen to it over this radio station, the Just Jesus Network. The name of my message? One word. One word only. Fear. Fear. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into it. Lord God, I thank you again for allowing me to be a part of this system, Lord, that's been set up. This radio wave that would take the word, your word, Lord, to virtually millions of people all over the world. Wow! Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part, a small but hopefully an intricate part in this work. I pray, Lord, you give me utterance. I pray, Lord, that the ears of the listeners would be unstopped and that they'd hear each word and understand it, Lord. That's most important, yes. For I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You know, when I was a child, when I was a child, like most kids back in my day, well, let me tell you now, it didn't take much to get the skin a-crawling and the knees a-knocking and the feet a-moving. Ooh, we're talking about fear here now. For this cause, I could never say I was scared stiff. I wasn't scared stiff. I was scared mobile. Ooh, ooh, man, oh man, when that lightning flashed and the thunder crashed, well, my feet barely touched the surface of the ground on my race to the front door of my house. Oh, oh yes, you can picture that, can't you? You don't even have to have gone through it. You can still picture it. You know, I lived outside of town, and our house was down a country lane off the main thoroughfare. The laneway was like maybe a 100-yard tunnel, like, with the bushes creeping in from both sides, and there was a big old creepy branchy tree at the end of the tunnel. Ooh, that was scary. Just before you arrived at the front door, with its towering branches, pictured, if you will, reaching out over the walkway like a giant canopy. Wow. Sometimes I'd just stand on the main road under the streetlights, working up enough courage to make that about 100-yard dash down that lane to my front door. You couldn't see anything until you got to the light of the doorway. The tiny porch light looked like a mile away. And if I was ever to stray off the beaten path and brush against a tree branch, well, golly, I was sure the devil had me and was about to swallow me up. You see, back then, kids still believed in the boogeyman. You know the boogeyman, don't you? That's another message. Usually, while I try to whistle, keep myself company, you know how you're walking along a lonely country road, you keep hearing things left and right and up ahead and behind you, so you start whistling so you can't hear these things. When these things you think you're hearing, you're not hearing at all. You know what I mean, eh? So you whistle, keep yourself company. But sometimes, well, the whistle wouldn't whistle. You know, you just blow between your lips and all would come out would be hot breath. When your lips was trembling especially. Oh, I think you all got a good idea what I'm talking about. Perhaps not the country lane, but fear itself, which is the title of my message, right? Fear. Oh, we were a fraidy cat generation back then. Never did find out who that boogeyman really was, though. About the time I was ready to join the armed forces, I wasn't afraid of nothing. Nothing at all, except maybe my drill sergeant. And that was because he was so ugly, his mama likely gave him up for adoption. Oh, just a little humor there. I hope you don't mind. No. Later on, when I became a Christian, I didn't fear nobody. Nobody. Except the Lord. Except the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The beginning of wisdom. I reckon that was a good kind of fear, huh? Oh, yeah. In Jeremiah 5:24, we read, "Let us now fear the Lord thy God." Good stuff. And over in Matthew 10:28, we read, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In hell. Now, that's a scary thought, don't you think? Oh, fear? Well, what is fear, you're asking? What is real fear? Ever ask yourself that? Well, Mr. Webster, Daniel Webster, defines fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by a coming evil or danger. You know, you come to the edge of a cliff, you stop because you fear you might walk over it, right? That's a healthy type of fear, isn't it? There are many kinds of fear, really. Fear of the boogeyman, who doesn't exist. Fear of heights, which, unfortunate for me, does exist. But I've learned to overcome it because of the Lord God. Then there's fear of the future. What's going to happen down the road? Oh, the world we're living in today sure must have a lot of fear in the back of their minds, because tomorrow doesn't look too good, too pleasant. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Like in school. Oh, I guess you can fear just about anything or anybody. But there are only two types of fear we are going to touch on today. Just two main types of fear. One, you probably guessed it ahead of me. The fear of dying. The fear of dying. Which is probably the most common fear known to mankind. Oh, yes. But number two is a rather healthy fear. Ooh, I like that one. The fear of the Lord. But if you don't believe in the Lord, how can you fear Him? So all you can fear is dying. But you don't fear that either sometimes, because you think that once you're dead, that's it. It's all over, finished. There's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no devil, there's no God, there's no Jesus, there's no nothing. I got news for you, brother. I got news for you, sister. The fear of dying is your greatest fear. Unless you've made preparations to go where you're going after death. Now, if you don't trust in the Lord, if you don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are going down to hell. Or as the kids say, H-E, double hockey sticks. That's where you are going. And it ain't going to be a pleasant place for you to exist. Now, that's another message. I'm not going to get into a lot of talk about hell. But I'm telling you right now, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, and all things will come to you in a way that you can deal with them. You won't have to go over the edge. You won't have to reach out for something and grab that straw or that branch that's just clinging by itself on a windy day. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all fear can be cast aside. Cast aside. The fear of the Lord. It just so happens that if you have a healthy fear of the Lord, well, then your fear of dying will be somewhat minimized. Somewhat minimized indeed. That's the name of my message today. Fear. But not the kind you see on TV or in the movies. Boo. No, gotcha. Oh, let's go with first of all, the fact of fear. The fact of fear. Fear is a fact, right? Hey, they've both got four letters in them. Wow, I wonder why. Everyone, whether they admit it or not, is subject to fear. Fear. Fear of an earthquake. Fear of a hurricane. Or a tornado. Or a fear of flooding. Fear of ingrown toenails. Fear of volcanoes. In fear of another 9/11. Or another bomb attack. Or even a gas hike at the pumps. Wow. Fear is a staple in everyone's life, whether you're a Christian or not. But we're going to eliminate, that's what this two-part message is all about, to eliminate the fear of dying. Okay? But you have to realize you are going to die one day. Fear is everywhere, in some form or other. Someone gets sick, you fear they may die. You take a driver's test, you fear you might fail. Or a school exam. Even a job interview. Of course, you've all heard of the man who feared he was choking on a giant marshmallow in his sleep until he woke up with his pillow in his mouth. You know, if you go to the doctor, he will try to show you how to live above fear. Of course, if your doctor is Dr. Jesus, then he can cast out all fear. All of it. Especially fear of dying. Yes, he can. You see, with the doctor, all things are payable. But with Christ, all things are possible. While a doctor lowers the risk, the Savior eliminates the risk. You got that? You go to the doctor, he lowers the risk of your days ending too soon. You go to the Savior, he eliminates that risk. Hey, that's good to me. I like that. You know, the world tries to show us how to live without fear. In other words, how to lock fear in the proverbial closet. You know what I'm saying, hey? On the other hand, God shows us how to live above fear. Above fear. Because fear is always there. Whether you're saved or not, fear is always there. But you can live with fear, according to the doctor's analogy and his prognosis and his suggestions and what have you, and pills and whatever. But you go to Jesus, he eliminates the fear so that you can just, I know. You can just say to your brother or your sister, I know that when I'm finished on this earth, I know where I'm going. Because Jesus made it possible. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, in God, there is no fear. In 1 John 4, verse 10, the Word of God tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, I like that. The love we speak of course, is the love of God. For this is the only love that can be perfect and fearless. You see, there's no fear with God if you believe in Him. No fear. Probably the biggest fear is the fear of death. I would say that's true with most people, if not all, fear of death. Well, with that in mind, you'd think, well, people would want to live forever. Well, I guess there are those who would. Death can be instantaneous, or it can hang on until you virtually worry yourself to death. That's not a pleasant thought, is it? I worry every day. I can't help it. I can't face life. Oh, I'm going to die. Come on, will ya? Get a life. You know, you can go to the doctor. Say he finds a lump. You go to the hospital. They find a cancer inside the lump. Oh, that's when they change the name of it from lump to tumor. Everybody has lumps. We all have a lump above our lip. It's called a nose. Everybody has lumps. Only sick people, unfortunately, have tumors. Tumors. Then there's the fear of the unknown. Oh, the unknown. We all have the unknown factor, whether you admit it or not. Don't say, I don't care. I don't believe that stuff. I know enough. That's all I need to know. Really? Well, I say to you, you do have a fear of the unknown, especially what is beyond the other side of death. And there are those who believe that death is the ultimate end to all things. That's it. It's finished. Nothing else happens. Well, of course, this doesn't explain why an apple tree brings forth new fruit every year, does it? Or why you can plant half a potato and grow a whole potato. Huh? Who made that possible? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was him, wasn't it? God. The medical profession is still at a loss why some people die peacefully and others die in complete terror or horror. Well, they might. They might if they read the Bible. You won't be at a loss. The Bible tells you. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Oh, yes. They say it's a proven fact that before the door of death closes on those who have rejected Christ, closes. Many have mindfully journeyed to the other side and had a glimpse of what awaits them. Yeah. You might have a dream, a nightmare at night, and say, ooh, you know, I dreamt I was in this place. I don't know where it was, but there was so hot there, and there was flames all around. Or I dreamed I was way up somewhere in the universe, and I was just floating around. But I had a great peace about me. Really? Well, that's a dream. It's not a godly dream, it's a dream. There are records of unbelievers at the moment of death feeling a tugging on their legs and their feet burning in actual flames as they scream for mercy. It's documented. This is a documentation to... Pardon me, there is a documentation to support this. In Hebrews 4:16 we read, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. You got that? Hebrews 4:16. Fear is one of our greatest enemies, if not the greatest. Some people fear going to bed at night, that they will not wake up in the morning. On the other hand, others fear waking up in the morning, that they may not be able to face the day. It's a no-win situation. Fear is there when you lay your head down to rest or when you pick your head up off the pillow in the morning. Fear is still there. It will get you if you're not prepared to deal with it. And the only way you can deal is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some fear looking in the mirror. I won't expand on that. That they may see a swollen and bruised lip. The result from sucking their thumb all night, maybe. Some even fear going out of doors. out of doors. I knew people like that, that couldn't go out the door. They were afraid. For many, fear is a natural obsession. They live with it throughout their lives. It is said, we have nothing to fear but what? But fear itself. Wow. Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Man, do I fear the Lord. Now this is a healthy fear. Psalm 23. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Matthew 10. Fear not them which kill the body. 1 Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. No, we bring it on ourselves. Not all fear is to be fearful, though. It is wise to fear God. Deuteronomy 6:10 tells us, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Of course, this is a reverential fear. To fear God will help us to reap obedience. And obedience will bring forth a multitude of blessings, indeed. I have a fear of heights. Does that mean I am a scaredy cat? Not at all. The word fear in this case simply means I am uncomfortable due to a medical condition. People laugh, eh? No, I can't go up the CN Tower. I won't go up the CN Tower. Let them laugh. I ain't going up. Why? What I got to do? Prove to them? Many people are fearing the world will end suddenly. Now, there's a healthy fear. It could, the way it's looking. What does the Word of God say on the subject? Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's a little bit of hope, isn't it? The end is not yet. That means you got a chance. Go get saved. Eh? Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if Jesus is not your personal Savior, then you are living in, now get this next word, you are living in grave danger. Grave danger. As they say in the phone business, direct lines are now open. Please call quickly. You will never get a busy signal. Call now. Your call is important to us. Operators are standing by to receive your call. The number again is 1-777-JESUS. You got that number? 1-777-JESUS. Are you going to call that number? I pray you will. In Revelation 21, we read, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and disbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. In Revelation 14, we read, the Word of God says, fear God and give glory to Him. Yes, there are many types of fears. Of course there are. And many which have little or no substance to them at all. They're just like a boo, boo. For example, fear of the dark. As I alluded to earlier, it's not the dark you really fear, it's the absence of light. If you come to a dark, shadowy lane and you know there is a light at the other end, your journey to that light, if you feel threatened, is not because it's dark, but rather your fear of what you imagine might be hidden in that moment of darkness, which 99% of the time is nothing. Is the devil playing mind games with you? Is he? He does that. Some would say so. God made the light and the darkness. He called one day and the other night. They are His creation. When I was a soldier on night patrol through unknown territory, that same darkness I feared as a child had become a blessing for me and my patrol. Much has been done and undone under the cover of darkness. Another reason why people fear the darkness is because our enemies use the darkness to rob and to bring us harm. God made all things for the benefit of His creation. Listen carefully. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. Genesis 1:2. God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis 1:4. God called the light day and the darkness night. In Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." We're talking about the moon, the stars, etc. Right? Should we fear what God has put there for us to enjoy? The stars, the planets, the solar system? Should we? What if it was all about continual blackness? What then? There would be no light to guide the sailor ships, only blackness and no sun to warm the day. It's the darkness. I want you to hear this. Now listen, if you never hear anything else. It's the darkness that accentuates the light. And it's the light that accents the Creator. Got that? It's the darkness that accents the light, and the light that accents the Creator. To everything, there is a season. To everything. And every purpose, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Every purpose under the heaven. Well, I've come to the end of part one. I hope you got something out of it. I pray you did. And next week, Lord willing, I'll bring forth part two. Fear, part two. In the meantime, I want you to take care. God bless you and your house. And if you're not sure about your salvation, please make sure today, because tomorrow is promised to no one. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that the ears that heard would be aware, Lord, of the truth of Thy Word. Thank You, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.